Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and first of all, Happy Christmas. Thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. The Reverend Johnny Thompson and his group of gospel music singers spread the good news of Jesus in their own very special way. We hear of an often overlooked figure at Christmas, St. Joseph, and of how Jesus came to be born. And Father Jim Brand reflects on the words of a popular Christmas carol and on how it is in quiet that the Lord comes, so as not to frighten us. I was excited to discover Rome was holding its very own gospel music festival to coincide with the Christmas festivities. I've been to gospel and spiritual music concerts before and have always participated energetically, enjoying myself immensely. This might be a good chance, I thought, to talk to one of the singers themselves. Ask a few questions I am curious about. I might even do a program and get to hear some fantastic singing. I called up the auditorium where the festival is being held and was invited over to talk to Reverend Johnny Thompson and the Thompson Singers themselves.
My name is Reverend Johnny Thompson, and I sing gospel music. I sing traditional music. I'm considered as what one would call the last of the traditionalists. Most of them have gone now. And we try to keep the roots of gospel music alive.
Where do you come from?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm a native Philadelphian.
And is that where you still live and you are based?
Where I still live, and plus I pastor a church in Philadelphia. Worthy is the
Lamb. What church do you belong to?
The name of my church is Thompson Temple of Faith, FBH Church.
Mm-hmm. You're Pentecostalized.
Pentecostal, right. Very charismatic, yes.
In your church, you actually welcome different denominations as well.
Yes, we do. Where we worship, it's a beautiful church. It's like a landmark, and we have five different diverse congregations in there. Mennonite, Church of God in Christ, Methodist, Fire Baptized, and a Jewish synagogue.
How do they receive your music?
We get along fine. You do wonderful.
Now, Reverend Thompson, who was wearing a black leather coat down to the floor and a cap to match, is a very modest and unassuming person. I had to get hold of a written biography to discover that since he founded his own group back in 1965, he has travelled the world with it as ambassador of the good news of the gospel. In fact, his group was the first of its kind to perform in the former Soviet Union and in Bulgaria before the lifting of the Iron Curtain. I asked him how he was received.
I also know that you have travelled a lot in your very long career. You're a pianist as well,
yes.
Aren't you? And you write the music. And you've been all over the world to places like Israel and the Soviet Union before the Iron Curtain was lifted.
In Cairo, Egypt, the opera house in Cairo.
How is your music received in these very diverse countries?
You know what? Quiet as it's kept, it's received the same way. People are, you know, at awe. They go away. They love the music, the sound. They like the feeling they get from what we do. It makes them more.
They like the feeling they get from what Johnny Thompson and his singers do. Just listen to the music. I'm sure you can relate to that. But I wanted to know more about the music itself.
Tell me about your music. What is your message?
My message is basically Jesus Christ. The music, period. It's, you know, we're based on, we're Protestant. And we believe that Jesus died and rose again, but he died for our sins. And what we do, we try to convey that message as we go about singing. And basically, the word gospel simply means the good news. That's what it means.
Often hear of gospel music and of spiritual music. Is there a difference between the two?
Not very much. Spirituals are the older type of music. The lyrics, you know, are basically the same. They tell of Jesus Christ. They tell of personal experiences and things that we've been through. But basically, it's the same. Just gospel music is, just like I said, considered as the good news. And the word gospel was not known until 1920. A man by the name of Dr. Thomas A. Dorsey, he was the one that created the word gospel music. And from that, that's kind of like where it stemmed from.
I was mentioning earlier that I have personally participated in a church service with gospel music and found it exciting and uplifting. What does it feel like for you, I asked Reverend Johnny Thompson, who are giving the congregation all that energy and feeling?
Well, and that's the thing about gospel music. We allow you to become a part of what we're doing, you know. As opposed to a regular concert that you just sit and listen. This one you listen, but you not only listen, you can also be involved in what it is what we do.
You're actually praying, aren't you?
No, not praying, praising.
Situation do you prefer? Do you prefer the concert or do you prefer the church service?
Well, we're church. We're church. What you see us do tonight is what we basically do in church.
Tell me about the group. How many of you, how many singers and musicians are there?
Well, there are five singers, and I have an organist and a drummer, and I'm on the piano.
Do you write many of the lyrics yourself?
Most of the stuff we sing, I write. And I know the
storm is passing over. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Before meeting the Reverend, his manager had given me three CDs, randomly selected from the group's copious production of gospel and spiritual music recordings. I asked Johnny Thompson to pick out one of his favorite songs.
All right, yeah, you pick one of my favorites at the beginning. One we'll probably sing tonight, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, which is a hymn that I rearranged.
Jesus,
that's on the Glory, Glory, Hallelujah album.
Is there anyone here that is special to you and why?
They're all special to me. Because everyone have a different message. Okay? On here, I got a right to praise the Lord. That one we might do tonight. Okay?
Thank God for the morning sun and for the evening breeze.
That's a song where everybody can get involved and clap their hands, that type of thing.
That bloom amongst the trees.
Now, the Swing Low Sweet Chariot album is more of a basic Negro spiritual type of thing. Like the spirituals, you know, they became famous in the early 1600s and 1700s. During the slavery period in the United States. But Negro spirituals, even though we sing them, they held messages, but the slaves were not allowed to communicate like that. So they used the spiritual in order to get their messages out. Gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside meant that we're gonna meet down at the river, get the boat and escape.
My long white road,
my long white road,
all the way down,
down
by the river,
by the river
side.
How did you get into doing what you do? How do you become a gospel singer?
It is our heritage. It's like Italians, you have certain things that you guys do as a race of people. And for us, the average person, we are raised in church and we're raised on gospel music. That's a part of our heritage. It comes natural to us.
As the Reverend spoke, I noticed some of the other members of the group nodding their heads in approval. I approached them with my microphone.
My name is Craig Whitley.
And you're here tonight to sing as well?
Yes.
What do you bring with you? What are you going to give us?
Bring the good news of Jesus. We sing to uplift ourselves, and through our own being lifted, we uplift the spirits of our audience and give them God's message that life isn't as bad as you might think. And if you turn to Him, your problems won't be problems.
I'm glad to be here today. I'm Leona Burnett. And I'm glad to be here to share the gospel with you and to let you know that we come here with our own feeling from God. We all have that special feeling that when our feeling go out, we might not know what you're saying and you might not know what we're saying. But because God is universal, then there's a feeling connected and you will connect with us because of what we're sending out, a feeling of Jesus, because He's universal.
Come by you.
One gets the feeling when listening to your music, which is so joyous, that you are giving joy to people, which means you must be getting some back as well.
Yes, definitely, definitely. We feel what we sing, and that's why people who don't speak our language can still get the feeling that we're trying to convey, because it's the love of Jesus that we're spreading.
Somebody needs you.
They're absolutely right. It doesn't matter whether you understand the words of the songs or not. Gospel music gets through because it's the love of Jesus that it's spreading. It's universal. Hear of someone who is often overlooked and somewhat overshadowed as we approach Christmas Day. It's St. Joseph. And Father Augustine Measures, monk of Ampleforth Abbey, tells us and his congregation of how Jesus came to be born.
His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they came to live together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a man of honour, and wanting to spare her publicity, decided to divorce her informally. He had made up his mind to do this when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she has conceived what is in her by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you must name him Jesus, because he is the one who is to save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill the word spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "The virgin child will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," a name which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had told him to do. He took his wife to his home. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, we're all familiar, more familiar, with the story of the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel appeared to our Blessed Lady, aren't we? That she was to be asked her to become the Mother of God. And this story, which I've just read to you, is often overlooked or sometimes unknown. One of the few bits of about our Lord's babyhood, birth and babyhood, except in childhood, that are in St. Matthew's Gospel. Most of the whole story of his early life is in St. Luke's Gospel. So it's most important, surely, that if Jesus is to have this foster father, Joseph. Foster father must be a real father, not just the authority, but the huge support of fatherhood, as if he were his own natural father, you know. He must have the fullness of that in him. So God gives him this special grace of fostering his own son. In a sense, you could say, that, and not being irreverent, please, you could say that God the Father becomes a human father in St. Joseph. You know what I mean? He puts his full power of fathering into St. Joseph's, this great gift. And that's why St. Joseph is the chief patron saint of the Church. The Church is the body of Christ. Chief patron saint of it is St. Joseph. And the importance of St. Joseph also comes out in another incident much later. Well, not a great deal later, 12 years later, you know what I'm talking about now, in the temple, when they'd lost the young lad, who's 12 years old, and technically by then an adult according to Jewish law, and they found him in the temple. And I'll read the words rather carefully, because it's rather important not to mess it up. "When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Child, why have you treated us so, like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety.'" She refers to Joseph as his father, which is how St. Joseph was commonly known, as the father of Jesus, you see. "And Jesus said to them, 'Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?'" My Father's house, you see. He uses the same word, but with a bigger meaning, you see. And this is a strong hint to us that the relationship that St. Joseph has with our Blessed Lord, you see. And it says then that they went back to Nazareth and he was obedient to them, like any lad of his age should be, you see. No, there's no question of his being acting independently of them. But he had to show them that where his real home was with his heavenly Father. And, you know, another occasion, our Lord says a great deal about St. John the Baptist and said, no man has been greater born of woman than John the Baptist, because he pointed out, there is the Lamb of God, didn't he? I wouldn't argue with our blessed Lord, but I would ask him, well, what about your dear foster father, St. Joseph? Because he did something extremely important in your early life, which all boys and girls really need. They don't always get it, I know. And he provided it through the grace of God, and that's so wonderful. So there we are.
And now, turning to a completely different musical atmosphere, one of my favourite moments. Father Jim Brand, Spiritual Director of the Pontifical Baylor College, guides us through a Christmas carol, stopping to reflect on each verse as we go along.
Here's Father Jim with a few little thoughts about the Lord's coming. I'm thinking of the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. About thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. But in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For me it is amazing, late in time the Lord comes in history. We keep the feast in midwinter, about the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. Midnight, when everything's quiet, in a small little village, he appears. His first guests are the peasants, and some wise men. His attendants are a few stable animals. His manger is not a crib, but a little niche where the animals feed. So it's in quiet that he comes, so as not to frighten us. Often he comes in the night time of our lives, so we need nocturnal vision to see him. We need to switch off our bright lights. He doesn't want to dazzle us. It's only when we have bright Broadway lights that we can't see the stars. We have to switch off our vulgar lights so that we can see him come at night when all is still. How silently the wondrous gift is given. His gifts are given to those with simple hearts. No ear may hear his coming. But in the world of sin, it's those who are meek and humble that Christ enters in. So, we have to look in quiet places, simple places, to find him. I'm always amazed at our Lord's perceptiveness. He was sitting in the temple. He notices everything. But he noticed a widow coming in to put her little offering in the box. Widows in those days, as often today, are people who've lost the breadwinner in the family. I don't suppose there was widow's benefit in those days, or pensions. without the breadwinner and maybe her children to look after. She was probably penny pinching. But the little she put in the box of the temple meant more than the rich who from their extra money could give it away. But she, from the little she had, gave her all. And our Lord noticed little people, whether it was Zacchaeus, who's hiding in the tree, or Bartimaeus, the blind man who was on the fringe of the crowd, calling, "Jesus, have pity on me." Our Lord heard him, despite all the noise going round him. On one occasion, in a great crowd, they were barging into him, and he said, "Somebody touched me." What a sensitive body. What a perceptive man the Lord is. And if we're going to be like him, we have to notice silent things. The little people in life. Those in the church who don't have a voice, but only whisper. Those who remain on the fringe of the crowd. I mean, there are some people always first in the queue for the sacraments, butting each other with their rumps and muddying the waters for those who come behind. We need eyes that see the modest people, like the publican who stood at the back of the synagogue and just said, "Lord, have pity on me, a sinner." We need to look not to the front row stalls, but the back of the upper circle, where those seem to be just in society by their eyelashes. How silently the wondrous gift is given. Third verse. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels their great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Immanuel. He wants to make a home in our hearts, with our permission, of course. Doesn't come with big boots on like Jehovah's Witnesses and won't go. His courtesy means he stands at the door and knocks. And he can only come to us and love us if we give him permission to come close. And faith is really giving him permission to make his home within us, giving him permission to love us. Next week I look at a wonderful poem called The Lady of Shalott. It's a very sad story. I think it might tell us something about whether we're in some fortress with a number of gates stopping him getting close, or whether we can open the gates and let the King of Glory enter. Amen.
That's all from the English feature program today. But before saying goodbye, I would like to wish you a very happy and peaceful Christmas. Of course, we'll be back at the same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.